Tonight, 2 Chronicles, chapters 15 and 16, as we finish out this section on Asa. In chapter 14 from last week, and remember, we're studying the kings from the south. And Abijah rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. And in his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. You remember Asa took down the pillars, he cleaned up the land, he got rid of the idols. He returned the people to the Lord. In verse 9 of chapter 14, Zerah the Ethiopian came up against Asa and the children of Israel in Judah and Jerusalem. And Asa went out against him and took the troops. And verse 11 of chapter 14, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you and your name, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. It is interesting in his prayer because we're going to see a difference, because at the end of Asa's life, in chapter 16, his approach to the Lord is going to be totally different. In his prayer, he won every battle because he came before the Lord and confessed to him in his prayer that it is nothing for you to win the war, whether it's with many people or few. And so he was seeking the Lord at every turn. Whenever anybody came up against him, he sought the Lord for it and went out with courage and fought the battle. And so fear went all after the Ethiopians were subdued and conquered. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar, to the point that there was fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Now we're going to have a prophecy beginning at chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Message that has been brought. Solomon brought the same message. This is a quote from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. It's been the same message down through the years. The Lord's message is, if you seek me with your whole heart, you're going to find me. It's a promise. There's no such thing as seeking for the Lord and not being able to be found. It is God's promise. God also promises, I will be with you as long as you're with me. If you forsake me, I will forsake you. And that was the message that he brought to Asa. It's as if he's predicting that Asa is going to leave trusting the Lord. Verse 3, for a long time Israel is without the true God. Notice the words has been. It's in italics. There is no verb in this verse in the Hebrew. And so you can either say, instead of has been, is. For a long time Israel is without the true God, without a teaching priest and without law. Now that's God's judgment. Somebody once said, preachers are a dime a dozen, but what the body of Christ needs are teachers. What God does is he closes his word. What God does is he removes the teachers. That's God's judgment against his people. They had priests. They had Levites in abundance. They had temple worship and the ceremony, but they did not have a teaching priest. They did not have the law, the Torah, to hear because there was no one there to teach them. And they had been without the Lord for quite some time. Verse 4. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. Interesting. God is attributed to have caused adversity to the children of Israel down through the years. You remember the period of the judges when they repented. God delivered them out of the hands of the enemies. As soon as they were delivered, they went right back to their sin again, and God brought adversity. The adversity is brought by God upon the people. Verse 7, but you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. The term for strong is the word for courage. Take courage. It took courage for him to go out and remove the idols and to clean up the land and return the land back to the Lord. And so now the prophet Azariah is now prophesying to him to be strong, to have courage, and do what you have to do, and your reward's going to be great. Verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. So in other words, he repaired it and got it ready for sacrifice again. Then he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. In other words, when revival began, when Asa was obedient to the Lord and the Lord was blessing him, and there was peace and quiet and prosperity in the land because Asa was seeking the Lord, people from the north, Israel, started migrating back down into the south. Now we're going to see that's going to cause a problem, because the king of the north in Israel is not going to like this, and he's going to bring war against Asa. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. This was the covenant that they made. They said, from now on, we're going to seek the Lord our God with our whole heart and our whole soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Interesting. The covenant that they made included if anybody ever did not seek the Lord wholly and completely, no matter who they were, whether they were great, a great leader or small as far as insignificant within this social community, whether it was a man or a woman, that person was going to be put to death. Boy, if the body of Christ entered into a covenant with God like that. And verse 14, then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and were seeking him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. So they had rest and they had peace. They had no adversity, that is, the enemies coming up against them. Isn't it interesting that the prophet should come and he should quote the same thing as brought by the prophet Jeremiah? And yet at the same time, the chronicler tells us that when they sought him with their whole heart, that he was found by them, just like he promised. And that he gave them rest and peace because they were seeking him out and they were seeking to do what he wanted them to do. Verse 16, also he removed Maakah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all of his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Interesting. Asa removes his own mother from her royal appointment because she, not part of any kind of a movement, it was a personal thing with her. She had set up an image. It is interesting how you find the three factors involved first of all, hearing God's word. Second of all, committing one's way to seek the Lord. And thirdly, separation. Is that Asa would not put up with it even from his own mother. You will have no image. Something private. Maybe she had it in her bedroom or something. He removed her from her royal throne and her royal position as mother. He removed her from that position and took the idol and destroyed it. Now this guy's on fire. This guy is seeking the Lord with his whole heart. He will not put up with anything under his rulership or leadership, even from his own mother, and had her removed from that position. And he dedicated the things. He brought into the house of the Lord those things that his father had dedicated. And so it just seems like the country is really coming together. And chapters 14 and 15 present Asa as just a tremendous leader of God. But something happens. And wouldn't you know it? You have to endure to the end. At the end of Asa's life, he changed. His whole approach in obedience to the things of the Lord. Chapter 16. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Now remember, in chapter 15, people were migrating down into Judah from Israel in the north. Because of the great revival, and it says because they knew the Lord was with him. In the north, the northern 10 tribes of Israel were having struggles. But in the south, they were at peace, prosperity, and all was well because Asa was seeking the Lord. Now from the north, Baasha has all of his people starting to migrate down, and he says, that's enough. So he forms armies to attack. Verse 2. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the house of the king, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. Now what he's doing here is, he's asking Ben-Hadad that because of all the silver and gold and all the jewelry that he's giving him, he's buying him off, basically. He's saying, I'm giving you all this gold and silver and jewels from the treasury of the Lord, which probably totaled in the millions. I'm taking all of this and I'm going to give it to you if you break your treaty with Baasha and you go in a covenant with me. If you break your treaty with him, he'll withdraw. So Ben-Hadad, verse 4, heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. What he was doing was building this city so that he could keep people from getting into Asa or keep people from leaving. So he would have them cornered. So he stopped building and went back. Then King Asa took all of Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah with Baasha, which Baasha had used for building. And with them he built Geba and Mizpah. So he built two cities. He dismantled Ramah and took all of the building materials and built himself two cities. So now it seems like everything's fine. It worked. Baasha has withdrawn. He's gone back. His own cities were attacked. And so he quit building and he went back and withdrew. So Asa's sitting there saying, it worked. I went and made a treaty. Ben-Hadad came up against Baasha, and it made Baasha leave me alone. Everything's fine now. Verse 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. In other words, you didn't win the battle at all. God wanted to defeat Baasha so that he would not bother you again. He only left. So you think it's a great victory. But he's still there. Still going to give you problems. Plus the fact, and notice verse 8, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Interesting. Two things. Hanani, the seer, brings another prophecy to Asa, and he brings up the fact that all the other instances, when all the other armies were bigger than you, you cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered you. In this instance, you did not cry out to the Lord. You did not trust the Lord. You went to Ben-Hadad and asked for help from Syria. You did not trust the Lord. And so because of that, God has not delivered the enemy in your hand. Sure, the enemy has left, but he's still there. Hasn't totally gone away. God was going to deliver them totally into your hands. Yet you didn't win the victory at all. You lost. Sure, they didn't attack you. But it is. I think it's interesting in verse 9, something to keep in mind. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of the ones whose heart is loyal to him. Isn't it interesting that the scripture says that God looks for people who are loyal to him so that he, the Lord, can show himself strong? God looks for people, those of his people who are in hard situations, that are overwhelmed by the situation and the problem. And the Lord just loves it when people say, I'm totally overwhelmed, and they cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, it is not too hard for you, whether it's with many people or few people. It is not too hard for you to deliver. So why didn't he do it this time? You see, he did not put his trust in the Lord. He put his trust in man's resources. You remember Isaiah chapters 30 and 31? When Israel was going to be attacked by Assyria, Israel sent a delegation down to Egypt to ask their armies to help. And God sent the prophet Isaiah to tell them, you have sent down to Egypt for help, and you have not trusted in me. To return and to trust me in confidence and quietness, that would be your strength, but you wouldn't. And then in Isaiah chapter 31, God says that the chariots and the armies, they're not God, they're men. Horses are not the spirit of God. And you're trusting in chariots and horses and armies of Egypt rather than trusting in the Lord just because you're outnumbered. God loves those odds. The Lord loves it when we're in a situation where we're over our heads, overwhelmed, and outnumbered. God shows himself strong. From now on, you're going to have wars, he told Asa. Asa experienced peace and quiet and rest, depicting our mental and spiritual condition. When we're obedient to the Lord, even though we're in hard situations, the Lord shows himself strong. To those who are loyal to him, the word loyal has to do with faithfulness. Those who put their faith in the Lord, trust in him. The Lord loves it when people trust him, when the odds are against them, so he can show himself strong. But from now on, you're going to have wars. You're going to have nothing but trouble. So in reality, Baasha was chased away. But in the long run, he just had trouble, continuous trouble, because he did not trust the Lord. He did not do it the Lord's way. Verse 10. Then Asa was angry with the seer. Oh, he was receptive and rejoiced over the prophecies of Azariah in chapter 15. But now he was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. His whole heart is changing. The seer came to give him the word of God. He did not rejoice in it. He did not repent. In fact, he got angry and began to oppress. Instead of obedience, instead of seeking the Lord with his whole heart, he's no longer seeking the Lord anymore. Verse 11, note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. That would be two different books than what we know as 1 and 2 Kings in our Bibles. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. You can see the attitude of his heart. The attitude of his heart was he was not going to seek the Lord for help. He received a disease in his feet, apparently some kind of gangrene. We don't really know what the disease was. It was in his feet. We don't know if it eventually killed him, but it is interesting that the disease was so severe that he did not seek the Lord but sought physicians. Now, it should be explained that from the Hebrew text standpoint, the way the grammar is set up, it doesn't mean that people who go see doctors and don't trust, and going to the doctor means you're not trusting the Lord. That is not what it means. It means he was not seeking the Lord with his whole heart. The disease should have caused him to be humble and to seek the Lord. It is not wrong to seek the Lord and to seek physicians. Paul had the physician Luke with him that treated him. He also told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. But the whole point is that he was seeking physicians and not seeking the Lord at all. Lord, what are you trying to say in all of this? Maybe the disease in his feet was symbolic for the fact that his walk with the Lord wasn't right, and he should have been seeking the Lord to find out what the Lord was trying to tell him. But the chronicler is very pointed to emphasize he did not seek the Lord but sought out physicians. He just totally left the Lord out of it. And he sought physicians, but they couldn't help him. The Lord would not allow the disease to be helped. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and they laid him in the bed which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him. They burned candles, they burned incense. It was a very elaborate funeral and ceremony. People remembered his early days when he was just adamantly so set on seeking the Lord with his whole heart, and he had courage. With courage, he went out and just cleaned up the land, even taking down his own mother off of the position of royal throne, because she set up an idol and was worshiping it. But what a contrast. At the end of his life, he stopped seeking the Lord. In every battle, he would seek the Lord, and the Lord would deliver him. But then all of a sudden, he just stopped seeking the Lord and started looking to human resources. And he got sick, and he refused to seek the Lord, and he got angry when he heard God's word. And he got a disease in his feet. It doesn't say here, but it indicates that this disease eventually probably killed him, was responsible for killing him. He sought physicians, and he would not seek the Lord. And the Lord would not allow the physicians to help. And he died. But the people gave a tremendous funeral, a burning of incense in honor of him, again probably remembering his early days. But the end of his life, the land began to turn back to the evil ways again. And we'll pick up next week in chapter 17, and Jehoshaphat, his son, is going to reign in his place. And we will see how this turns out. Lessons to learn. The two parts are, seek the Lord with your whole heart. God says, you will seek me when you find me. And if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And if you forsake me, God says, I will forsake you. We saw both. We saw Asa seek the Lord. We saw that the Lord was found by him, and the end result was rest. But in chapter 16, he forsook the Lord. So the Lord forsook him. Wouldn't help him out. Wouldn't help him out of his jam. Allowed adversity to strike. And he didn't have rest. He had wars and adversity the entire time. One's a life of peace and rest, and one's a life of adversity and wars. God's the same. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, let a person take heed, lest he thinks he stands, lest he should fall. And he made mention of that as reference to the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness. They began to get bitter against God, and they began to do things their own way, complain about how God was doing things. And Paul says, take heed, we're the same way. If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And so Asa fell. And we need to endure to the end. Keep trusting the Lord for every battle, for every war, so that we might experience His peace and His rest. And seek Him out in everything. To seek Him, Lord, what would you have me to do? How do you want me to experience you and to trust you in this particular situation? He wants us to seek Him. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing upon us. We pray, too, that you would cause us to seek you with our whole heart and our whole soul. For your promise is that you will be found by those who seek you out. And those who draw close to you, you're going to draw close to them. Those who forsake you, you're going to forsake them. Lord, help us to see that we cannot do without you. May we walk in a humble approach to you, not taking our victories and blessings for granted, but help us to see that it takes a seeking you and a serving you out of a love for you as your servants every day, not just for a long period of time, but every day of our life, in order to experience the peace and the rest that you give us as you show yourself strong on behalf of those who have a heart to trust you. Just cause us to trust you in everything, and to acknowledge you in everything, and to seek you in every situation as to what you would have us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.